Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we certainly thank you for our time here together, that we can be in your word, that we can sing praises to you. And Lord, we do ask now that your word would speak clearly to us. Lord, that we understand today the depth of your love for us. And Lord, especially understand the promise of eternal life that we have in your Son. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few distractions that might be going on in our minds so that we can simply hear your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is actually a Sunday that we set aside. It's the first Sunday in November for All Saints Sunday. Now, actually, All Saints Day falls on the first day of November, but in the church, we usually set aside that first Sunday in November to commemorate the saints, remember those who have gone before us in Christ. Now, if you do a little bit of research, if you like Google All Saints Day, you're going to find that the origin of All Saints Day is really complex. It's a little bit unclear where it initially started, how it initially started, but I think over the years we know what it's come to be. But in its initial state, there's some that believe that it was originally a Christian holiday that was set aside to replace a pagan holiday. Now, that's not unusual because that happened before, but also in its early days, All Saints Day was set aside to remember the martyrs of the faith, those who died for the sake of Christ. Now, over the years, it's come to be a commemoration of all of the saints, all of those who die in Christ. We remember them and their faithfulness on this day. Now, if we go back to last Sunday, you know, the question of possibly who is a saint then, who is a true saint, we're going to take a look at some of what Luther dealt with. But if I were to just say the word saint, what would initially come to your mind? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when I say saint? Anybody? Oh, when the saints go marching in, all right? New Orleans Saints, football team, right? What else? All right, someone has a bright ring above their head, which means they're a pretty good person, right? A lot of times, who do we refer to in the Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do we say sometimes, and especially with one of the liturgies that we do, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, St. Matthew. So we refer to them as saints. Sometimes we refer to a saint as just someone who's really good, right? We say, well, they're a saint. Sometimes we use that in kind of an opposite term, maybe in more of a sarcastic type meaning, where we say, oh, they think they're a saint, right? Have you ever done that? So when we do that, what are we really meaning? We're really not meaning they're a saint. We're really meaning they're the opposite of that, which is a pretty bad person. Now, this is a little bit ironic here, because when we talk about who a true saint is, and this is what Luther struggled with, is a true saint still a sinner? Martin Luther coined the phrase simul justus et peccator. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. It's a Latin phrase, which simul means simultaneously. So simul means at the same time. Justus, which is J-U-S-T-U-S, is just. Someone who is just or someone who is right is someone who is righteous before God. Et is just simply and peccator is sinner. So, simultaneously, what? Saint and sinner. Now, you see, that doesn't work for a lot of people because you can't be both, right? And that's what Luther struggled with, because in the Catholic Church during his time, what had to happen was every sin had to be repented of. I mean, when you went to confession, you had to repent of every single sin that you had ever committed. And what drove Luther crazy was the fact that he couldn't, in his own mind, do that. He couldn't remember. He was afraid he forgot some of the sins that he committed. And then even the fact that there may be sins that he had committed that he wasn't even aware of. And so the whole idea was for him, at one moment, you're a saint, you're a good guy, you've repented of your sins, but then in the next moment you've sinned, so now you're a sinner. But this phrase, simultaneously, at the same time, saint and sinner, means that we are, as Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are a saint. But we're also what? A sinner. And if you don't believe that last one, ask the person sitting next to you. And they will reassure you that you are a sinner. But we have to ask God about the saint part. Because God is the one that makes us a saint. This is really, to me, very clear in our 1 John passage for this morning. 1 John chapter 3. The first part of verse 1, I'm going to even break verse 1 down just a little bit, but verse 1 of 1 John chapter 3, it says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." I think immediately right here we see a clear distinction that we're not a child of God because of what we do. But it's because God chose to lavish His love on us, to show us unconditional, incredible love because He wanted to. Not because we were such good people. Not because we did enough good stuff. But because He wanted to. And then it goes on and says, and that is what we are. I think this is something that we miss quite often in our lives, that being righteous before God, being a saint before God, assures us of forgiveness and it promises us eternal life. And we are a child of God, not yesterday, not someday down the road, but when? Right now. That is what we are. Right now. Children of God, forgiven, and have eternal life. And we have that right now. And he goes on, "This reason the world does not know us, so that the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." Now, this is a phrase in here that seems a little bit out of place, but the world does not know children of God. Now, first of all, we have to understand what world means. A lot of times, and I think I've said this before, a lot of times when Scripture refers to the world, what is it referring to? The unbelieving people of the world. And so the world does not recognize us. The world does not know us in the sense it doesn't want to. I mean, how often are Christians, saints, persecuted in the world today? How many people want to know who Jesus is? How many people don't understand why we come to church here on Sunday morning and do the things we do? It's because they don't know who? Him. Jesus. They don't get it. And this is really just an echo of John's Gospel, St. John's Gospel, in chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And so the Word here is referring to Jesus. So Jesus was in the beginning. "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So the darkness of the world, Jesus came into the world, but yet they didn't understand who he was. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, and this is referring to John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Sounds just exactly like the 1 John chapter 3. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And then it goes on, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. On All Saints Day, we can't help but think about heaven, right? What is that going to be like? Anybody want to take a wild stab at that one? That's almost worse than the four extra stones, right? We have absolutely no, or can't really fathom what it's going to be like, other than, what does it say here? We are going to be like him. Doesn't that give you goosebumps? We're going to be like him, whatever that's like. I know it's much better than this, or anything that we could experience in this life. We are going to be like him, and we're going to see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have the assurance of eternal life. That is our hope. And it's not the hope like, I hope I get a go-kart for my Christmas gift, or I hope it rains tomorrow. This is a sure and certain hope, knowing that we will be with him one day. And as we are here on All Saints Sunday, I don't know that we bring this out clearly enough. But here in a moment, we're going to come to the Lord's table. And I know we've talked about this before. When we come forward to the Lord's table, who are we communing with? We are communing with God himself, right? He comes to us through his Son's body and blood. We are communing with each one up here. We will be communing together as a family of God. But also in a moment, I'm going to say these words, therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, and you're going to sing, holy, holy, holy. When we sing that, we are joined together with the angels, with each other, and who else? All the company of heaven, which is all of those saints who have died and gone before us. That means my sister. That means grandparents. That means siblings. That means aunts, uncles. That means friends. All of those who have died before us in faith, we're joined together in this communion with God himself. That's powerful. That's powerful that we have that assurance of knowing that now we have forgiveness and eternal life. I pray that we continue to live daily in the assurance that God gives us as his children right now and for eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.